Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Talk a little college softball, college baseball, if that floats your boat. Obviously, the NBA playoffs, huge game tonight for Oklahoma City. People have come back from 3-1 down, and the one thing about the Thunder's plight, if they were to lose tonight, two of those last three games would be at home, but it would be a severe uphill climb if Oklahoma City is not able to win this evening. What would have to change to get a win? Talk about game three on Saturday. All kinds of NBA stuff as well with the other series. Everybody was burying the champs, Jared. Burying the champs early on in that series, and now here we are. Denver's now won two in a row on the road at Minnesota. Charles Barkley's telling everybody to quit calling Anthony Edwards Michael Jordan. It's great. Let's see if the Thunder can do the same thing tonight. High school sports is a wrap. The Elk City tennis team, the boys' tennis team, was fantastic up at the OKC Tennis Center. Fourth place finish. Just about everybody was on the podium. So we can tell you about that. Also, let's look ahead. We started to do this the other day. I guess it was Friday, but let's really kind of look ahead to next year. Sports season's a wrap. Let's look ahead. What are you curious about? What do you think? Like, is there a certain team or two that you're positive about how successful they'll be? You know what I mean? We can just kind of look ahead to next year's sports season. That's kind of what we got on the docket for today. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698 if you're going to be outside the listening area. A couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to kadsam.com or download the app. The app has it all. It's got the radio. It's got Penny News, a brand new edition of Penny News. Hits the website every, Tuesday at midnight. And then, of course, pick up a free copy of the paper edition of the Penny News all over the place, wherever your favorite local newsstand is. And if you miss our show entirely on the Skinny on Sports, you can find that via the podcast, each and every place where podcasts are. How are you today, Jared?
I'm well. How are you?
How was your weekend?
It was good. It was real good. I was in the yard most of the weekend. And got some Simon's catch on Saturday night. So no complaints on my end. How was yours?
It's good. Played a little golf on Saturday. And then yesterday, sat out in the rain and watched some baseball.
Oh, yeah? Did you?
Yeah.
In the rain?
I wasn't in the rain, but they were playing
they
in the
were
rain.
In the rain, yeah.
There was one point in the first game where it was raining pretty hard. The ball was not easy to throw. Saw a whole bunch of really weird pitches there for about an inning and a half with the, you know, trying to do the best everybody could to keep dry baseballs. But It was raining so hard that it wouldn't even necessarily have to hit the ground. Just as it was in the air, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, there was puddles everywhere, so a couple of them found a watery grave, especially at Ackley, right there by the batting barn. It was just like a little lake there. And any foul ball that would hit the batting barn and come toward the field, it was destined to land right in that water every single time. So it was wild. It was cool. It was a lot colder than I thought. And by the time that second game was over, I was ready to be home.
I imagine.
Get me in a warm, dry place.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I clarify. I was in the yard all day Saturday. Yesterday, I was just chilling. It was just one of those.
Doing whatever your wife told you to do?
Well, she wanted to take a nap. I said, go for it. So we just relaxed. When it wasn't raining, I'd kick the girls outside. Said, go outside. Because they were kind of getting antsy. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, everybody got some rain. It's always a good weekend when people get rain.
I timed it perfectly. I aerated and fertilized and laid down some Bermuda, and then it rained. So, and it, I mean, it even kind of started sprinkling Saturday night a little bit. Or late afternoon, I guess. So that was perfect. I didn't even check my rain gauge. I don't even know how much I got.
I keep waiting on Justin to tell us. He's our meteorologist in the neighborhood. He had just a little shy of 1.5 last night. But that was before it poured down rain again.
Yeah.
Last night, and then it poured down overnight.
Wow, Mezzanet, it's impressive.
2.2?
Yeah, 2.25 almost. Right here in Elk City.
I thought I heard the energy guys telling us that across the state of Oklahoma, Elk City was the winner at 2.2.
No, that's a lie. That's
the most.
I wouldn't trust what they say.
They were looking at the same thing you were, I think.
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know if we should not trust them.
I mean, are we going to believe what he says?
Butch? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Butch? Butch was saying that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Butch.
Well, that changes everything.
Yes. Yeah, here we go. The Justin Cook official rain gauge total for...
They really should move that Mezzanet site to his backyard.
He's got a deal on his fence that looks like it probably is that. He was like, well, right in between an 1.25 and 1.5. But like I said, that's before it rained again last night. Like, not overnight.
Yeah,
I'm talking about it like 8 or 9 o'clock, whatever that was.
Yeah, that big guy that came through.
It rained really hard for a little bit. And then last night, I don't know what time it was overnight, but it was pouring rain. Overnight.
See, I kept looking. It said around 2 o'clock that was going to come through. I never heard it.
Well, I did. It was raining hard.
Slept right through it, I guess. Which is good. I mean, I'm glad we got the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a swath of it on this map anyways. It says Elk City 2.25. Bessie 1.8. Weatherford 1.4. Eric 1.6. Almost you just following I-40, and that's what I'm looking at right here. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
We needed that big drink of water there.
On the text line, it's definitely a cart path only day. That's right. And that means why I will not go.
Ah.
I will not be there. But yeah, hopefully, I haven't even looked ahead. Seems like on Friday when I was reading the weather and looking ahead to next week, we get a couple of days, maybe today and tomorrow, and then overnight tomorrow into Wednesday and Thursday. Is that when maybe we have chances for rain again?
I just looked at that this morning because it's my weather day. I woke up, or my weather week, I guess. Let's see here. Wednesday, a 40% chance. Wednesday night, a 70% chance.
Yeah, and then
showers and possible thunderstorms.
50% Thursday, and then 20s.
Yeah.
Then nice on the weekend, looks like. 85 and 80. I'm going to tell you something. If it will rain, what we got now and then what we could get later with those temps flying up into the 80s and more importantly, the lows not getting out of the 60s, you'd be mowing.
Good.
You'd be mowing a couple of times.
Good.
Did you make your wife something, a special dinner last night?
I did.
What did you make?
She said, make me whatever. So it was dad's menu. I didn't really plan it out. I had to thaw out meat. So I just kind of looked in the freezer, looked in the pantry, and like, what can I whip together? So I found some blue and gold chicken strips, mashed potatoes, gravy, corn. That's about it. Because I knew the girls really liked that. Those chicken strips from Blue and Gold. So I knew they would eat it. That's what I did. Nothing too special. Like I said, we went out. She wanted to go to Simon's Catch Saturday night as her, you know, Mother's Day meal.
Yeah.
So that we went there Saturday night. It was busy.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine everywhere is busy any weekend once when we got those tournaments, that kind of thing. Tends to go that way.
Yep.
Well, I made steaks.
Oh, good for you.
For my mother.
That's good.
My wife. El Patio cooked.
You weren't the only one, Jared, that went to El Patio. I got another text message from a friend who was at El Patio. I don't know why they're telling me that. I guess they know I like El Patio.
El Pat. No, I made, the baked potato steaks.
Yeah.
There's this medley of frozen veggies that we get from Oklahoma City store. There's two different ones. Two different mixes.
Okay.
One's got they've all got kind of like red onions and bell peppers, like red peppers. And one's got like mushrooms and squash and zucchini. The other one's got like Brussels sprouts and that, like broccoli.
Okay.
So we had that. I made some mushrooms. Sauteed some mushrooms. Do you like mushrooms?
No.
You don't?
I never have.
You don't like mushrooms?
Not a big fan of putting fungus in my mouth.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You need to try my sauteed mushrooms. Saute them in butter and a little bit of soy sauce and a little bit of Worcestershire sauce. Some pepper. I think you'd change your mind. You don't think so?
I'm not doubting your cooking ability, but it's still a mushroom.
They're delicious. They're absolutely delicious. Anyway, so that's what I did. My mother came over. One of my buddies came over.
Very good. That sounds good.
We had a good visit. It was a fun night. Very good night for Mother's Day. All right. It was also a good weekend for Elk City tennis. Boys tennis team in the 4A state tennis tournament.
Yeah.
Everybody made it to Saturday, which essentially you've got to win a match to make it to Saturday. Okay. The seeding starts the first match on Friday. You play two. If you lose, you're in elimination time. If you win, you're obviously going to be into Saturday. And everybody did. Everybody made it to Saturday. Max Murray in number one singles lost the seventh place match to somebody from Bing. Let's see. Jackson Goodman. He actually, the first match, Max beat a seeded. So there's 16 people in the bracket.
Yeah.
It's almost like the softball or the baseball. Like there's 16 seed, but only the top eight actually have a seed. Mm. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like what we saw the bracket released yesterday for the college softball tournament. The national seeds or what have you.
Gotcha.
It's kind of that way. And so he actually beat the eight seed, so that means he would have been ninth, by my calculations, in that first round. So he loses the seventh place match. Jackson Ivester in number two singles. He got all the way to the semifinals and then lost in the semifinals to the eventual champion from Ada, and then he lost the third place match. So Jackson ends up fourth in number two singles. Number one doubles, Elk City had the top seed. And once again, semifinals lose to a team from Cassidy, but they bounce back and won the third place match. Number one doubles has Brewer and Welch were third overall. And then number two doubles, once again, Brewer and Coslow, they got to the finals and were beaten by Ada. Ada won. I think the Elks were fourth as a team. But a really, really good tennis season for both the boys and the girls. And that's that's one of those sports that maybe doesn't get a lot of pub, but Coach Curtis, Coach Shockey, they've been a really good job over the last handful of years kind of building that thing up. And it started with the Sanger boys, and it's rolled right on to now. That's still got some really quality tennis players, so that's a good showing. Once again, tennis is a lot like golf in a lot of ways. Ada, though, as a public school, wins. But when you look through the bracket and whatnot, you see a whole bunch of the private schools on the tennis side of things.
Oh yeah,
and so yeah, that's really, really strong. I know a lot of people were curious about what happened in 4A baseball.
Yeah,
surprise.
Yeah,
I think to a lot of people, Marlow, the number four team as voted on by the coaches. They go through. They beat a lot of people. Got to see them play Hilldale in the rain delayed game before the Elks and Chickasha on Thursday. Then they turn around and beat Tuttle 1-0 on a walk off single with two outs in the bottom of the seventh. And then they beat Blanchard 3-2 in the finals at Bricktown on Saturday morning. So the Marlow Outlaws are the 4A baseball state champs. And from everything that I kind of learned about them, didn't do a lot because never saw them. But I think that's a really young team. So Marlow may be one to reckon with for a couple of more years as the titleist this season. So that's kind of the way that went.
Selfishly, I'm just glad it wasn't one of those schools. You know what I'm talking
about? Tuttle or Blanchard.
Yeah, it's getting kind of old. Which, I mean, come on. That's pretty impressive what they've done. But it was cool to see Marlow go through there and win that thing.
Yeah. So Marlow is the champion. Now, let's talk about next year, kind of looking ahead. And I guess we could do it chronologically or however you want to go about this. But, you know, it's still – we still don't know exactly officially for sure, what the football districts are going to look like. Right?
Yeah, we've heard all the – rumors and speculation, and we've seen some schools release their schedules and some haven't, but based on what they've released, you get a good kind of an idea of what these districts are going to look like, specifically 4A 1 and 2 from what I've seen and talked to some media type over at the baseball tournament. So you kind of get an idea, but nothing's official. So it's kind of, I don't want to be the guy that says this is who we're going to play and it'd be wrong. We got to wait for that official announcement.
The couple of things that we know are going to change from what was originally out there before the lawsuit from the public or from the private schools that is now still kind of hanging out. There's two things we know for sure that are going to be different. Number one, Woodward will be in the district instead of all the way down in 3A the way it was going to happen. And that would have been a non-district game that was on that original schedule. We do know that there's nowhere else for them to go, right?
Right.
I mean, that's not breaking any news. If they're going to be in 4A, they're going to be in 4A1, period. And I mean, we just know that that's going to happen, right?
I mean, maybe there's an off
All right,
chance.
So 95% chance that's going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to,
And the other thing we know is that these I-40 schools lose a pretty darn good opponent out of district because Newcastle is 5A.
Correct.
And that would have been on the original, you know, the original district schedule. You had Elk City, Clinton, Weatherford, Newcastle, and also Heritage Hall. So I guess we do know three things. That third thing is Heritage Hall's off the schedule because they're in 3A.
And four things, it's a given. Clinton, Weatherford, Elk City are all going to be in the same district, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying.
Mm-hmm. So, still waiting. I know that that's being worked on probably as we speak to finalize that and get that released. But it's going to be interesting to see exactly how it all falls. So that's like for me, if you just think about like top of mind, what's next for us? Football is next for us. Mm-hmm. To start the season, you know, the sports season, and that right now, still don't know exactly who we're going to play. So that's the first thing that leaps to my mind is how this all shakes out and what it ends up finally looking like in District 4A1.
Yeah, so as soon as that comes out, we'll dive into that and we get a good idea of what the district, give her little predictions, I guess, or opinions of what the district could shape up and look like. On the field, the results-wise, but we just can't do that right now.
Yeah, and here, I hate to say this because it's something that we talk about with college football, and you know you see these way too early predictions as soon as the national title game is over, and you're kind of thinking, well, how in the world could you possibly do that? Because you don't know who's going to be on those teams. What does July 1 do in Oklahoma high school sports? You say, what is July 1? July 1 is where basically the transfer portal opens. And everybody gets one free transfer. So even, you know, we almost you almost need to wait. Like, yeah. until the camp, like summer camp opens or whatever, the middle of August, to go, okay, well, this is what they've got, and you know, who knows what that looks like. That's the next thing on my mind about high school sports for next year is this all to do about nothing as far as the transfer stuff, or is it really going to affect things the way we've kind of seen in college sports?
I've been firm on this statement that I think you're going to see a lot of – it's going to affect the metro schools more than us, the rural schools out here. Because it's the proximity. They don't have to really move. It's easy to drive from one block as opposed to another block, whatever. So I think you'll see a lot of fluid movement in that regard. But out here, I don't see it. I mean, you're going to see it. It's just not as much as where it's going to affect, like, oh, they're the star quarterback left for Clinton or vice versa. I don't know if we're going to see a lot of that. I think, well, I've said, especially in the small schools, I think we have a lot of loyalty, a lot of heritage, lineage of my dad played here, my mom played here, my aunt and uncle played here. I'm not leaving here. I don't care what it is. I don't care that I'm a Leedy Bison for life, you know, that kind of attitude. So, which is good. I love that. So. I don't think we'll see it as much affect us, but out in the metro area, Tulsa area, maybe Lawton area, because those Lawton schools right there, and heck, maybe Elgin, Cash, you can see a lot of it happening there in that area too, but I don't think it's going to affect us as much as you think.
I would tend to agree with that. And that one other thing that's happening in football this year is the formations of divisions within classes. What does that mean? Well, Class A and Class 2A now have separate divisions.
Oh, I overlooked that.
So you've got – so within 2A – so and this has been forever, 2A and A had 64 teams within that class, which meant an extra round of playoffs.
Yeah,
that's why
huge.
They would always be done – you know, the next week.
On New Year's Eve, yeah.
So this, starting next year, that's being broken up into 2A Division I, which consists of the 32 biggest 2A schools.
Right.
And then 2A Division II, which is the next 32 in 2A. So you're gonna have multiple champions within Class 2A. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar at all with the state of Texas, this has been going on there forever. The only difference is it split it up a little differently, but that's how this is going to be done. And so now you're going to have, so say, you know, Class A, Division One. Let's see, Hinton, Hobart, Merritt, Sayre, Hooker. But now you go down to Class A, Division Two, Mangum, Cordell, Texoma. You know, they're in different classifications altogether. And so that's going to change. That'll change districts.
It's going to change, yeah.
Immensely.
Yeah, there's going to be some on the line right there. You got to move them out.
That's right.
Or up or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so that you won't see. The districts for those schools will be completely different than what they have been.
Logistically, how are they going to, are they still going to have all the state championship games at UCO? Now, you just added, what, two more?
Probably have to start on Thursday.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
That's a lot of football in one weekend in one venue. I wonder what they're going to do with that. Yeah, like Thursday at 11? 11, 2:30, and 6? 7:30, 7, something like that? Three games a day?
Let's see. I've got 23, 24. I don't have 24, 25. I would imagine you just had a day.
Yeah.
And go Thursday. How many classes you got now? 6A, 5A, 4A, 3A.
We got the two divisions of 6A.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So 2, 5A, 4A, 3A. 2 and 2A, 2 and A. So that's 9. That's 3
nine.
A day.
That's 9.
It's
yeah.
3 a day.
So you could go 11.
Because a lot of times B and C.
2:30.
B and C aren't the same, are different places.
Right. It's
because of the 8-man. It could be at SWAS. It could be in Alva. It's been in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they, you know, Southern. Oh, here you go. 8-man football championships at Southern Nats.
Oh, cool.
I'm looking at this year from this last year.
I gotcha.
So I would bet you'd have. Yeah, would you have like an 11 o'clock, a 3 o'clock, and a 7 o'clock,
yeah.
something like that, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? And so if you went by size, that would mean what 4A would probably be Friday night, the last game on Friday. If you just went chronologically from smallest to largest, right?
So do the lowest division A.
Yeah, you do. A2, A1, 2A2
yeah.
on Thursday,
then
2A1, 3A, and 4A
Friday.
On Friday, and then 5A and both 6As on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way it's done in Texas.
Seems like a nightmare with traffic and parking. And.
But it's also the cool part about having it in one spot.
Yeah, yeah. You can just hang out and watch football all day.
So that'll be interesting. And then you mentioned it on Friday. Last year, the Big House.
Yeah. We think.
Yeah. Supposedly. Supposedly last year.
It is an election year. We could have a lot of hangups, but supposedly, yeah. And it needs it. I mean, it's served its purpose after all these years. And they're building the new ones. We're seeing progress when we've gone over there. I'm sure a lot of us have. Anxious to see what the new building's going to look like. Seen the renderings. I'm anxious to get in there. But this year will be a little bittersweet closing it down.
Yeah, it will be. In some ways, it's time. Bathrooms, for instance. I know that was a pretty contentious point last year during that, you know, when we were there with them not working. And all that. It was a mess.
Yeah.
It was an absolute mess.
Somebody sent me a picture. Somebody wrote my name on a bathroom stall.
Oh, really?
Yes. Fortunately, they didn't put my phone number. They just wrote Jared Atha was here. Like, that's not my handwriting. I don't know. That's kind of creepy.
Well, that's weird.
It's very
Are you weird. Being serious?
I'm 100% serious. It was when he was at OYE, which was the next week after 2A.
Yeah.
I thought... Like, are you messing with me? Did you write the... He said he didn't do it. It's weird. So, yeah, that whole building needs to come down. That was weird. Hey, while we're on the high school thing, I didn't get a rundown, so I apologize if you have this. What teams... I know we kind of touched on this. I kind of now put more thought into it. What teams are you looking forward to seeing? Like, maybe showed some promise, but, you know, could take that next step and be pretty good. In any sport.
Yeah, I mean, so softball, there's going to be there's a bunch of good ones around here. I think you're always, like, for me, is this finally the year that the fast pitch for Elk City gets into the state tournament? They've been close for a while now.
Yeah.
Is this finally the year that they can kind of take that next step and do that for the first time, you know, and then after that, who can win it? Because there's always fast pitch teams in the tournament. Who can win it?
I think Arapahoe's a team to watch. They were really good last fast pitch season. You know, Cheyenne
mm-hmm.
has some youth there. I'll talk about them coming up, but a couple teams to keep an eye on. Well, Coach Gillette at Canute gets some of the junior high coming up to be freshmen. That could really add to his offense, I think. So, and then Elk City. I wrote down Elk City.
Yeah,
first on my list.
Yeah. Leedy's always there. Hammond. Yeah, there. I mean, there's just so many good teams, and it's not for me in the fast pitch and really in the basketball. It's not necessarily can. People make it to the state tournament. It's more, are they good enough to win it?
Right.
in
we have a lot of perennial team contenders or attendees to the state tournament, which is great. I mean, we always expect to see them there, expect to see them on that bracket. But yeah, you're right. The real question is, well, who can make a run at this thing, make a real run?
That's right. And that goes clear into, you know, into basketball and all through for the small schools. I think you said Friday, you know, the last season for, and this is crazy because it seems like she just started, but we're already to the last season for Henley.
Yeah.
Up at Hammond.
Right.
And that floors me that it's already now, because it does not seem like this, that should be the case, but it is, you know. And there's, you know, the group at Cheyenne, the young group at Cheyenne,
yeah,
you know, and what Canute's got. But then also, you know, we're also seeing one of those young groups that's now going to be upperclassmen. That's like the Leedy girls. They were the young up-and-comers just a couple of years ago. Now they're kind of the seasoned old veterans, you know what I mean? With Boatman and Danielson and Puffenbarger, you know, they've gone from really young to now very, very upperclassmen oriented, mm-hmm, with that squad. So, you know, I think softball, basketballs, we're about to start getting back, I think, to seeing multiple teams, not only in the state tournament, but I think we're going to start seeing them again playing on Saturday. You know, it's just kind of been Hammond over the last 2 years that really had a serious threat, right, to be in that final. And I think it's going to be more than just them over the next few years.
Yeah, boys basketball, I think Arapahoe, I know they kind of had a step back, but they're kind of like that youth that we saw at Cheyenne with the girls. That there's some young guys on that team. Coach Rogers is a good coach. They're not going to be down long. I think they're going to take a next step next year, be good. I have questions about Sentinel. What are they going to look like next year? Mm-hmm. They retained some players, but I wonder what they're going to look like, because they've been on a great run. Can they sustain it? I don't doubt that they won't. I bet they will. I think Coach Snowden will get them going, keep them there. And can Fort Cobb rebound?
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't think that they'd be down long, but well, we will see.
In the same vein with Arapahoe, you mentioned on Friday, Hammond boys, really young too. Played some really good teams close, or if not beat them. So mm-hmm, what are they going to look like? They kind of set the bar for themselves. Okay, we know how good we can be, and now we got to be better.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we're about, and I said this too on Friday, I think we're on the cusp of seeing a lot of teams out here not only get to the state tournament, but make a run at that thing. Maybe not just this year. I'm like the next couple or three.
Well, I mean, listen, we all know. Anybody that pays any attention to any of the sports, we all know what's coming at Canute.
Exciting.
We all know what's coming. And it's like a year away. But don't discount what's over there right now.
Yeah, no. No. No, it's going to be great out here, this whole area.
Hanging out here on a Monday, talking a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Tonight, game 4 between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Dallas Mavericks. After losing game 1, Dallas has come back with 2 straight wins. They lead the series 2-1. With game 4 on their home floor down in Dallas. Let's jump back to Saturday for just a little bit. Thunder lose 105-101. It was a game that was a 1-point lead at halftime for Oklahoma City. And then you looked up in the third quarter and you had Oklahoma City taking as many as a 10-point lead at one point. And then all of a sudden Dallas storms back and they lead by 4 going into the fourth quarter. Teams play even. Dallas wins 105-101. What were kind of your takeaways from what we saw on Saturday afternoon in that game 3 loss for OKC?
Man, just Oklahoma City's just not playing their best, just simply put. Every time it just felt like they could do something. I mean, you got to give a lot – I've said this too. You got to give a lot of credit to Dallas with how they've responded and everything. Their bench play has been phenomenal, clearly. But I just don't know if Oklahoma City's playing their best and they're still losing close. And it's hard to see that continue. But they just got to play better, really. And then I worry about, I know we're about to talk about this, but I worry about the inexperience, really, when it comes to playoffs. And mainly adjusting, making adjustments. But I didn't think SGA played his best. No one really did, in my opinion. What about you? What was your takeaway?
I think Oklahoma City has to change something. And that something is, in these last two games, done decent jobs on Kyrie and on Luka. Kyrie, though, man, in that fourth quarter, it just felt like he could get whatever he wanted. But P.J. Washington has been the player that has killed Oklahoma City these last two games. 7 of 11 and then 5 of 12. So that's, 12 of 23 from 3 in the last two games, one of which in Game 2 at Oklahoma City scored 29, scored 27 on Saturday to lead Dallas in both games. And I think as much as everybody wants to get on Josh Giddey about his offense or lack thereof, I think the biggest problem with having Josh Giddey in the starting lineup is defensively and not being able to cover anybody, and especially that means P.J. Washington, and letting P.J. Washington get comfortable, making a couple of shots, seeing a couple go in, and then he's, you know, is off to the races. And so for me, as much of a change as it's going to look like, and I think he's got, I think if you're Mark Daigneault, you have got to get Josh Giddey out of the starting lineup. If you want it to be Kaysen, if you want it to be Aaron Wiggins, whoever, somebody's got to be in that game to affect the comfortability of P.J. Washington early on, because we saw in game one, he got saddled with a little bit of foul trouble and never was really a factor. And guess what? Then you could kind of hone in a little bit more on Luka and Kyrie, and it worked. You know, defensively, it worked. These last two games, he's had Giddey lost early, knocking down shots, and then you're just constantly fighting an uphill battle. Now, in both of those games, Oklahoma City was able to take leads in the third quarter, but you wonder how much energy is being expended to try to get back from those early double-digit deficits that then when winning time comes in the fourth quarter, it looked to me like Oklahoma City was a little bit out of gas on Saturday, SGA especially.
Very much so. So, you know, let's address it because it will be talked about whether it's someone's opinion or it's fact or whatever, but the officiating, what's your opinion about the officiating?
It is what it is. I mean, you had to know.
So that was what the cry was after both these losses. It's the officials are...
You had to know going into the series that the whining that was going to happen from Luka was going to try to affect what's happening. You know, you look at the last two-minute report from Saturday, the jump ball that was, I mean, just crazy, the way that was called. Even right then you knew that wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it takes away a bucket. But I don't think that, you know, the free throw numbers have been very similar. You know, this was six more for Dallas. Okay, and when you had to foul at the end, that kind of creates that discrepancy. I just think that is one of those things that maybe when you talk about a little bit of inexperience, it's inexperience in having to figure out how to handle that, how to handle those things not quite going your way. But to me, the thing that jumps out, and it seemed like it during the game, was for the first time in the series, Dallas really beat Oklahoma City up on the offensive board, 15 offensive rebounds to 6, and that led to the second chance opportunities that in a 4-point game, it only takes about 2 of those for you to be beat. And I think that's more to me what happened is Oklahoma City just not quite sharp enough to win these games, to win these close games down the stretch against the way more experienced, playoff experienced Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, so do you think Daigneault makes any kind of change? Like, I mean, that's where I was kind of alluding to.
I think he's got to.
The inexperience. It's not just on the players, but the coach, too. This is his first go-round in the playoffs, and the best coaches will make changes in series, not even mid-game, just like, okay, we got to switch things up in our starting lineup. We got to – who's defending who, all this stuff. Or is he Scotty Brooks again and just going to stay with what has worked all season long, but it's not working now?
Well, I mean, it's different because Josh Giddey played 13 minutes. So it's not like he's not changing.
Yeah, true.
What he's doing. But for me, what's happening in these last two games is because of Giddey's ineffectiveness defensively more than offensively. I mean, you look up on he had 9 points, 4 of 8 shooting from the field, only 1 of 4 from three, but the one he did hit was a big one from the top of the key there. But that's not the problem. The problem isn't necessarily his lack of efficiency on offense, it's defensively. And it just so happens that they being Dallas, has gotten the favorable part of that matchup with him in Washington, and his lack of ability to close out to shooters has been what kind of spurred the Mavericks on early. And that's just the trend is that. Slow starts. And part of those slow starts to me is him. And it's more to me on the defensive end than the offensive end. So if it's me, you know, Aaron Wiggins or Cason Wallace, I don't care. Either one, I would put in the starting lineup and try to affect the game early defensively in a lot more forceful manner than what we've seen out of Giddey and on PJ Washington, quite frankly. Because other than that, I mean, Kyrie and Luka have 22 apiece. I think you take that all day long. Don't you? And that works. It's a Thunder win if PJ Washington has 15. 15 is still quite a few. But it's not 27 and it's not 29. Because, you know, Derrick Jones Jr., come on, man. He was 1 of 10 the other day. If he gives them like 10 or 12 points, that's a bonus. You know, Hardaway came back down to life. I mean, but that's just the way Hardaway is. He's going to be really good or he's going to shoot you out of the game. I mean, that's kind of what he is as a bench player. And it's easy to remember game 2 for him because he shot the lights out and had 17 off the bench in like 15 minutes or whatever. But you forget the 0 for 4 from 3 in game 1 and the 2 for 5 in game 2.
Yeah.
Because you just remember the flashes and not the duds. But that is the life of a bench player in the NBA. Outside of like Manu, everybody else, that's how it goes. You know, you make shots one game and you don't the other game. And you know why? Because that's why you're on the bench and you're not in the starting lineups. You know, some are a little bit more consistent than others, but even some of the best sixth men of all time, I mean, like Jamal Crawford. He wasn't great every game, but you sure remember the ones he was. I think that's the way, you know, Hardaway is. And maybe even some of the guys, you know, Wiggins had a great game 1. And he's not the greatest since. You know, Isaiah Joe finally shot it good. Maybe put him in there. Either one of those three guys, Joe, Wiggins, or Cason Wallace, for me, needs to be in the starting lineup. Just so that the Thunder don't allow P.J. Washington. I cannot believe we're sitting here after 3 games and going, man, the most important player for the Dallas Mavericks has been P.J. Washington. But it has. I don't think there's any doubt that it has. And so for now, you got to figure out a strategy to slow down P.J. Washington. Not Kyrie, not Luka, P.J. Washington. And what's a little bit scary, has to be scary as a Thunder fan, is we still haven't seen what I would call the Luka game, or what I would call the Kyrie game, where you feel like one of those two guys wins it by himself. We still haven't seen that. Maybe that's by design with the way that the Thunder have been guarding, and that's obviously has to be a concern if you start deploying more resources toward PJ Washington. Does that open things up for Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving? Which, if that's going to be your choice, I see why the Thunder are making the choice they're making. You'd rather P.J. Washington beat you than those other two, but at what point do you go, okay, P.J.'s doing it. We got to do something else. And then take your chances with letting a Luka or a Kyrie game happen.
Right, that's a scary thing. Give too much attention to him, then those guys get open. Yeah. Yeah, so how, what do you feel? How do you feel about tonight?
I think it's going to be close, and it's a matter of whether or not Thunder can make a play, grab a rebound, get a stop, make a shot. It does seem like this was all, to me, going down there after losing game two, this was going to be the game that Oklahoma City had a better chance to win, just in my mind. Mm-hmm. And so if you look back at game three, you're right in there. It's all tonight is the series. There's no guarantee that Oklahoma City can win the series, even if they win tonight. But you have a hard time believing they have any chance to win the series if they don't win tonight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like there's no guarantee. Hey, you win game four and then they're off and running. But with the quality of those guys, Doncic and Irving, even though two of them would be at home in a potential game seven if you lose this evening and go down 3-1, even though that's true, it's still hard to imagine you can beat that team three straight times. I think the Thunder win. I think they win a really close one, and then we get a three-game series. And then the whole series is on Wednesday, win game five back at Oklahoma City. What do you think?
Well, I know the regular season and the postseason are two completely different animals, but it's hard for me to see this team lose three in a row when the only time they did it, if I'm not mistaken, is when SGA was hurt. So it's hard for me to see them just laying an egg again or not laying an egg. They didn't really lay an egg those two losses. They were right there towards the end. But so with that being said, I think they're fine. I think it is a must win. I think they know that. And the whole idea of this going in, even after game two, losing game two, is split on the road. That's all you got to do. You need to split on the road and shift it back to OKC for your home court. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy, but I think adjustments will be made. And I think they do win a close one.
Yeah, you're right. Only time they lost three straight was that Philly, Boston, Indiana in early April when SGA wasn't there.
But again, that's a regular season.
It is.
This is the playoffs. It's totally different. But this team is too good to lose three in a row, in my opinion. Hard to see it happen three times in a row.
No doubt about it.
I think we bring it back to OKC tied up 2-2.
I do too. It's just like you said, it doesn't matter which one you get. Just like Dallas, it didn't matter if it was game one or game two. They just wanted to get one in Oklahoma City. Same rule applies for the Thunder. You didn't get game three, so now you have to get game four, but you still just had to get one to get now back home. Two out of three series, two of those are on your home floor. And the truth of it is, in order to be a Western Conference Finals type team or an NBA Finals type team, you have to win playoff games on the road because the teams are too good to just sweep them at home. You're eventually going to have to win one or two games on the road, maybe within one series. You're going to have to. And that's what they face tonight. Hey, a big shout out to our friends at Rother Brothers. Yeah. Highway 183 in Clinton. Rother Brothers is a family-owned dealership started by its three owners in Kingfisher back in 1976. Remains family-owned and operated. To this day, expanded to three locations, all covering Western Oklahoma and Clinton, Fairview, and Kingfisher. Rother Brothers, we pride ourselves in creating a one-stop shop, all sorts of equipment, parts, repair services, and more. Some of the brands, Case IH, Polaris, Great Plains, Rhino, Dixie Chopper Mowers, Steel, Commercial, and Residential Tools. That is Rother Brothers on Highway 83 north of Clinton. Thank you to Mike and all the gang over there at Rother Brothers. Hanging out here on a Monday. You know, Jared, where would be the perfect place to watch that Thunder game tonight?
Boomtown Grill.
Boomtown Grill is correct. It's absolutely the correct answer. You could have a classic burger, a French dip sandwich, Southwest chicken wrap, assortment of burgers and sandwiches and wraps. Burgers are made from 100% beef patties, freshly ground, never frozen. 12 big screen TVs, happy hour 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. There's also appetizer plates and drink specials. Then, Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main, right here in Elk City. Boomtown is open 7 days a week, 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. That's the Boomtown Grill. Okay, so Big 12 Conference Softball Tournament in the books. Oklahoma, after, what, three national titles in a row, what people are considering a down year with a few losses, but not in the Big 12 Tournament. Oklahoma wins the Big 12 title 5-1 in the finals on Saturday over the Texas Longhorns, which then, last night, the selection show for the softball was on. The regionals have been announced. It didn't matter in the grand scheme of things that OU beat Texas in that title game in the softball because the Horns are the number one seed. Oklahoma second. Oklahoma State was fifth. Is that right?
Yeah. Fifth. They're five.
And so when you look ahead to not only regionals but then super regionals, Oklahoma's opponent, if seeds hold, would be Florida State. Oklahoma State's opponent would be, do you remember? It slipped my mind. All right, 5, 6, 7, 8. Georgia. Georgia. No, wait a minute. They're number 11. Arkansas, the Razorbacks, would be the 5-12 matchup for Oklahoma State if both teams hold serve in the regionals. Oklahoma State has Kentucky, Michigan, and Northern Colorado. Oklahoma has Oregon, Boston, and Cleveland State. Were you surprised?
No. I think, obviously, they lost the series to Texas in the regular season. I think what really locked them into the two was losing Bedlam. I don't think there's enough that they could have done to get over that, get the one seed. But, no, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, you wonder if Oklahoma would have been able to beat Oklahoma State and Texas back-to-back in the Big 12 tournament. Maybe that could have happened.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But with OSU losing that game one to BYU, that took that ability out of play for Oklahoma to beat two top five teams in succession to win. I don't know that it necessarily matters. It is interesting, though, that being the two with the 15 seed at Florida State, that's who played in the championship series a year ago.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
So that could be a rematch of that. When you look at one thing, the first thing I noted that I looked for to see when this came out was, okay, what's Oklahoma City look like? And at least right off the bat, OSU and Texas are on one side of the bracket, OU's on the other.
Right.
Now, with losses and the way that that kind of cross brackets.
I forget how that works.
I know. I part of me thinks that may mean it's going to be a little bit harder for it to be Bedlam in the finals or Red River in the finals. But like I said, I'm the same way. I can't exactly remember how that all works with losses and the way they go across and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But you think all three make it?
I do.
I do too. There's a lot of people are upset.
Listen, Arkansas is going to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So not very favorable for OSU, but I mean, Cowgirl Stadium's a tough place to play in. So OSU will they'll be there in force with their fans. It's an intimidating place to play in. But Arkansas being right there, neighboring state, they'll travel. They'll be there. But I think they get past them. I think they'll be fine.
Seemed like most people were upset that Duke wasn't a top 8 seed. I don't know. Whatever. Just the banter online last night was, how is Missouri a seed and not Duke? One other thing of note that I kind of looked at, you know, the chances of 1 through 8 be all being there are probably not great, you know. But if they all do, does Texas have the toughest first game with Stanford being the 8 and, of course, the pitcher?
That would be tough, yeah.
Canada would be their opponent.
We kind of forget about her. Yep. She was a star last year.
Looking ahead, if it was the top 8 all making it, Oklahoma would play Missouri. OSU would play Florida. So that's just kind of a little preview.
I feel
that
like
that all gets going Friday.
I was getting some flack from some OSU fans, buddies of mine, when I was kind of celebrating an OU win on Saturday. Like, oh, well, you didn't get us in Bedlam. And I was like, yeah, thanks for that. I think it woke them up.
Maybe.
They look really, really good this weekend. Really determined. I think that's the better word to use. So we'll see.
It's going to be fun. Yep. And, you know, there would be nothing better. We've gotten, what, 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago? It was Red River in the last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the last series. I mean, if somehow that could be Bedlam.
That'd be fantastic.
In the last series, the last year of being in the same conference, and with Oklahoma State kind of getting over the hump, at least in the regular season, winning that series 2 out of 3, that would be awesome.
That'd be great.
That would be absolutely awesome.
OU baseball wraps up the regular season.
OU baseball is the regular season champs in the Big 12.
A little help from Mother Nature on that one, but we'll take it.
Yeah, who was it? Oklahoma State didn't play.
Yeah, because of that, they were the outright. They at least had a share.
Yeah.
Would have been cool to have OSU and OU split it, but pretty cool.
Everybody have a great day.